This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Muddled our way through a big five into the 5 o'clock hour we go now. Gwynn and Chris Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. hanging with you right at 5 o'clock, an hour away from today's Padre Roundtable Series presented by Bud Light Seltzer. We're going to be talking about the Padres infield. And Tony and I will be joined by the coach, John Quintero, also Ben and Woods. A commercial-free hour of Padre talk coming up an hour from right now, right here on 97.3 The Fan. We are going to be a little Padres heavy in the 5 o'clock hour as well. As we get back to work here on the program, countdown comes up at the bottom of the hour. But before we get to that, Jace Tingler, manager of the San Diego Padres. I wonder if waiting all of this time has taken any kind of toll on Jace Tingler, Tony. You know him pretty well. He's been, you know, waiting his whole life for this opportunity to manage a baseball team. I guess waiting another couple of months isn't going to matter too much, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
From the moment you get named as manager of a big league club for the first time, there has to be a certain amount of nerves that goes along with that. And then to have to wait an extra 2 or 3 months to actually manage your first game probably doesn't help matters all that much. You know what I mean?
No. No. My guess is that he, knowing Jace, he probably didn't give it too much of a thought. You know,
yeah.
He locked in on, you know, making sure his family was safe, but then trying to figure out, once he figured out what the season was going to look like, knowing his brain, it got to work pretty quick. He's a really thorough individual in terms of planning and wanting to know which direction he's going to go. I bet you he has, knowing him and AJ both, they probably have all kinds of ideas in terms of how they want to navigate this 60-game season. This is like a science class for them on this one.
I love when we had AJ Preller on and in New York City a couple years ago, and I asked him about, as the general manager, I said, do you kind of tinker with the lineup in your head a little bit? Do you look at who you have on the roster and who could be playing where and batting where? Or are you the kind of guy that never looks at something like that and just kind of puts the team together? And I think what he said was he only tinkers with the lineup in his head about 100 times a day.
I think that's exactly
something like
what he said.
That was what AJ Preller said. So that gave me all the answer I needed to know. And I'm sure Jace Tingler would love to get that first game up and on the board. He'll have it 16 days from now. It'll be a 6:10 start at Petco Park. The Padres will play the Arizona Diamondbacks on July the 24th. And there are going to be two exhibition games that we're going to carry for you on the Fan. One will be Monday, July the 20th. The other will be Wednesday, July the 22nd, both against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So really, Tony, we're 12 days away from the first Padre broadcast here on 97.3 The Fan. Jace Tingler, though, today talking to the media, Zoom conference call, and gave everybody a little update on the Padres' COVID testing. Here's what the manager had to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on, you know, on the other side, but our guys have been pretty adaptable, understanding that everything's not going to be perfect. But our testing, for the most part, has been pretty efficient. It seems like each time we go, it's a little bit quicker. And maybe that's some of our guys, you know, understanding the protocols and the things that that we need to do. So, you know, I think given MLB and all the protocols and the rules, you know, giving them a little bit of grace if there is a misstep, and giving us a little bit of grace when there's a misstep, and understand that there are a lot of things that go into this. But, you know, on our end, it has been pretty efficient and pretty smooth.
All right. One thing that was not smooth today, though, the newly acquired infielder, is it Jorge Mateo?
Yes.
That they got from the Oakland A's in that trade tested positive for the coronavirus today. So Padres now have two guys on that list, with Tommy Pham having tested positive earlier. Mateo apparently came down with the coronavirus, got the positive test. So we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully the no symptoms and asymptomatic, as it were. And both guys will be back playing with some negative tests soon. I did notice that Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver from El Cajon, has tested negative now a couple of times since testing positive. So he's been given the okay to go back and resume racing. So Jimmy Johnson really wasn't out of the loop for very long. I think he missed one race.
Yeah.
All.
Can you imagine, though, so, testing positive and having, say, Tommy Pham be out of the lineup for 2 weeks and then realizing that it was a false positive or something like that?
That would not be good.
No. But that's why – that's also
one of the
why
that goes with all this.
I think that's also why they have to test positive a few times after, just to make sure you're not getting a false positive or a false negative, for that matter. That's something that all teams are going to be dealing with.
I imagine every player, every athlete, when they sit down to take a test, you know, most of them at least feel fine and say to themselves in the back of their mind, boy, this better not come back as a false positive.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's going to be like the worst thing. Jace Tingler also talked about the Padres schedule, which was released a couple of days ago. Some of his thoughts on the Padres. 30 games in the first 31 days, but a bunch of off days near the end of that schedule. Here's what the Padre manager had to say about that.
We looked at it, and I think it just shows the importance of having to come out and get off to a good start. We've got to play well right from the get-go and understand that if we do that, we've got a chance to be in it the last month, and we'll have a couple days of off days to kind of rest and recover. So I think when you initially look at the schedule, it just senses what we expected, the importance of coming out and playing good baseball right off the bat.
Well, one thing he's not wrong about is playing good off the bat, because you got Arizona for four, you got the Dodgers for three, Arizona for three, the Dodgers for four. I mean, that is 14 of your first, and then Arizona for three. So 17 of their first 23 games, Tony, are against the Diamondbacks or the Dodgers, the two teams that they're going to be competing with most likely if they're to win a division title. I mean, think about that, 17 out of 23 games against those two teams alone. So
yeah.
They've got to be ready to roll right off the get-go. And let's see, 4, 7, 10. Yeah, 10 with Arizona and 7 with the Dodgers in the first 23 games. So
yeah, to me, the focus, yes, you got to win those games. But right now the focus is on making sure when game one happens, defensively, they're tight. Starting pitching-wise, they're where they need to be, because – in a 60-game season, you can't give away two or three games based off of bad defense. You just can't. You got to be able to catch the ball and throw the ball. And to me, that's what I hear when I hear Jace speaking in those terms right there, is that we got to make sure that from a fundamental standpoint, we're on our P's and Q's. And from a pitching standpoint, I think offensively, you have to just kind of hope that comes along. Because generally speaking, offense kind of takes a little bit of time to get going as a whole, and then it starts to roll downhill. But defense and pitching, especially in this year, are going to be vital.
Yeah, right off the bat. Those are things that are, especially defense, can show up every single day for you if it's good. And that'll be a big key. It is so funny to me. I've always felt that, you know, we talk about baseball teams, you talk about baseball seasons, and you look at everybody's offensive numbers, you look at everybody's ERA, you look at everybody's win-loss record, you look now at even more involved statistics like OPS and
right.
and you know, FIP and things like that for pitchers.
Nobody looks at any defensive percentages when they're previewing a baseball team for the season. But when, defense decides so many games. It's just so interesting to me that is hardly ever paid very close attention to. But if you can make the plays, you can stay in games and win them.
Historically, Padres, not just in Petco, but at Qualcomm or Jack Murphy, whatever you want to call it, when they're good, when they're competing for playoff spots defensively, they're always one of the better teams. Mm-hmm. Always.
Gotta catch the ball.
Yeah, those are the two things.
Got to catch the ball. And got to catch the ball helps your pitching
exactly.
Immeasurably.
Yeah.
Speaking of pitching, Jace Tingler was asked about his starting rotation and how that looks in the inter-squad games. Here's what he said about the pitching rotation.
All gone through now, you know, once, and now it's going to be their second time around. So I don't think there have really been, you know, any surprises. Paddock's taking the ball. Lamet's taking the ball. Davey's taking the ball. Garrett Richards has taken the ball, Cal, Luke Casey, a handful of others, just what we talked about, you know, trying to build up 12 starters. Those guys are taking the ball, and, you know, Baez and Morihone go tonight as they continue to get stretched out. We've got a lighter game tonight. We've got a lot more innings tomorrow.
All right, so those are some of the comments of Jace Tingler. It doesn't sound like the Padres are going to be going with the Chris Ello piggyback starter plan, which is okay. My feelings aren't really that hurt. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. That's
yeah.
Reasonable.
I would have thought it would be so cool if they would have done that. But apparently, and I was talking about having one starter go three innings and then another starter go three innings and then getting into your bullpen and doing that for the first week or two of the season until everybody gets set. But apparently, Tony, from everything I'm hearing and from all the people we've talked to, we've had AJ Cassavell and Bob Scanlon and people down at Petco and people that have been with the team, the Padres starters, and we had Garrett Richards on talking about it as well, that the Padres starters are just ready to go more than three, four, five innings right now. And so if that's the case, then you don't have to do that piggyback thing because guys are going to have six or seven innings hopefully in them right from the get-go.
Yeah, no, that was the thought, that guys were, even if they weren't starting from scratch, they wouldn't be built up to where they are. But that's, I mean, and not just the Padres, around the league.
Yeah, it sounded the same around the league, right?
Yeah, a lot of these guys are already four or five innings ready, prepared right now. I saw the highlights of Gerrit Cole punching out 9 out of 10 guys that he faced. So
and he clearly, pitched 6 innings.
Yeah, that was just towards the back end of that start. But that's kind of where I think Major League Baseball is, which I think is good. The fact that these starting pitchers are there, we might not get a chance to look at some of the young guys that we thought we might see, but it does bode well for some good baseball if pitchers are already built up to this point right now.
Yeah. Dodgers announced Clayton Kershaw going to start their opening game against San Francisco. They didn't say he's only going to pitch the first three innings.
No.
They figure he'll be pitching the whole game. It's his 9th opening day start, by the way. All right, that was Jace Tingler. When we come back, we're going to hear from some more Padres stuff. Kirby Yates did a Zoom conference call with the media today, and it's always fun to hear what Kirby has to say. So we'll get to some of his thoughts, and then a countdown is coming your way, and then our roundtable on the Padres infield coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. So still plenty of good stuff remaining as we roll along here. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris. We are on San Diego's #1 sports talk station. Thanks so much to you out there for making that so. This is 97.3 The Fan. Let's check a little traffic with Kelly Dan.
At Stater Brothers, California-grown yellow peaches are 99 cents a pound. 2 pounds of sweet strawberries are $2.99, and 6 ounces of blueberries and blackberries are 2 for $3. Stater Brothers Market, quality and value you can count on.
Sweet.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just said sweet. I'm hungry.
Oh.
talking about both. Food there.
We heard from manager Jace Tingler last segment, and one of the really guy who just really showed up not too long ago, Kirby Yates, back, and we finally got a chance to hear from him. He spoke a little bit about the team unity with COVID guidelines.
We'll be fine. You know, we've been a tight group in the past. We're still a tight group. We'll figure out ways to connect and, you know, still have fun and respect the protocols. I think, you know, we're still able to have conversations with each other. You know, it's not like we're walking around not being able to talk to each other or not being able to interact. I mean, we can still have conversations with each other and, you know, and still be ourselves. So I think we will be fine and we'll still have fun and we'll figure out ways.
Yeah. I'm glad he's confident about that one. That one,
I'm not surprised that he is. I mean, Kirby is, if he's not laid back, then nobody's laid back.
That's very true.
So he's going to take it one step at a time, and he's going to have a positive outlook about it, and hopefully he's right. You know, I mean, I really hope that he turns out to be right. And, you know, we talked about it earlier today that although 66 positive tests have come through in the first run-through of Major League Baseball testing, and that sounds like a ton, and it is. I mean, 66 is still 66. It's only 1.8% of the people that have been tested. So, you know, the numbers are still relatively, I mean, that's really, really low compared to the rest of society. I'm sure it's pretty much on par with it. So hopefully those numbers stay there, and hopefully once the games start, things don't spike. I mean, we got to hope that at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so no doubt about it. One of the other questions that I'm sure everybody else has had to answer at this point, but what was his decision, deciding to play or not? How did that go for him?
You know, I think I did well with the few months of working out. I probably as good as you can do based on the circumstances. And, you know, as far as being out here late and Ashley and the kids, you know, Ashley talked a lot. You know, she had a previously scheduled doctor's appointment that required her to stay over a few nights to do some tests. And that's where I was. I was watching the kids and, you know, taking care of them. But for the most part, look, I think what we're doing here for me personally and my wife and kids, I feel like we're safe. I feel like this is safe. I think based on the alternative, I think, you know, I think this is the only place where I can come and be around 30 guys, whatever it is, and know that everybody's been tested here in the last 48 hours. I think you can't necessarily go to the grocery store and have people that you know that have been tested, you know? So I think for what this is and the protocols, you know, I do feel safe.
Yeah. So that's important because if I'm not mistaken, I believe his wife does have an underlying issue there that could be an issue, but he feels safe. So, you know, as long as that's the case, I think he'll be able to put his best foot forward, Chris. But the question that I had, and I'm glad it was asked during this Zoom call, with the closer position particularly thrives off of the adrenaline of coming in the ninth with a whole bunch of fans either booing or cheering. Obviously, in this season, that won't be the case. He was asked how to get intensity with zero fans.
That's going to be interesting. I think, you know, I think you're going to notice it a little bit more on the road. You know, not to say that our fans aren't awesome when I'm running in. It's just that I get yelled at when we're on the road and I'm warming up in the bullpen. You know, there's like an atmosphere that, you know, people are yelling at you and they're not necessarily cheering for you. They're cheering at you. And when you're at home, you know, you can feel just a loud energy and a buzz when you come into the game, which is awesome. So it's going to be very interesting. You know, obviously it's going to be different and it's going to be something that you have to adjust to, but you know, it is what it is and you can deal with it and you just have to, find a way to deal with it and go out there and make pitches.
Yeah.
We already talked about whether or not they're going to blare his song when he walks in or not. And whether or not they should blare his song.
He will be begging for them to blare that song as loud as he can. I know I would be if I was
He's going to need that song just to help him get pumped up. But it's interesting that he talked about on the road it'll be a whole lot different.
I agree.
When you're on the road, it's a little quieter and you can hear everything people are screaming at you. And I'm sure none of it's nice.
Well, on the road, you're expecting the negative energy. And at home, you know, you don't even think about, I mean, as he said, the fans are great here in San Diego, but you're not thinking about that because you know the support is there. On the road, it's like, you know, it's just you and your teammates. And walking out of a bullpen, like, to eerily nothing, to no sound at all on the road is going to be a little weird, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
He also was asked about thoughts on how the bullpen should be used in such a short season.
I think, you know, I do think August is going to be – people are going to get out the gate a little bit quicker than you would in April. And I do think that there might be a couple more guys down at bullpens that throw maybe two or three innings at a time more often, based on the starters and to see where the starter's at. I don't think anybody knows what kind of, you know, workload a starter can take based on what they've been able to do for the last 3 months. So, you know, are our starters going to be able to come out and throw 95 pitches from the get-go? I don't think so. So that has to, you know, there's innings that fall into the bullpen. And, you know, I think with doing that, I think there's going to be more guys throwing multiple innings. And if I'm one of them, then I'm one of them. You know, and I think every team's going to be different. I think we are probably more equipped as anybody to face this and to deal with this as with the arms that we have. And, you know, I think we will be prepared regardless of what happens.
Yeah, that one in particular, I think probably as he gets kind of acclimated with the camp, we all will realize the pitchers are a lot further along than we thought. So even though Kirby's right, it probably won't last as long into the season. You know, we were thinking, what, 3, 4 starts, 5 starts before you started to see some normalcy in terms of how baseball is managed. I don't think that's going to be the case. You might see maybe 1 or 2 starts of that kind of having relievers go a little bit longer. But after that, I think it gets back to normal, Chris.
Yeah, and I like Kirby Yates kind of saying there, well, our relievers are going to have to throw multiple innings, and if I'm one of those, so be it. I can tell you right now, Kirby, you're not going to be one of those guys throwing multiple. We're not going to see Kirby Yates out there for 3 innings or even 2 innings. We may see him for a couple of batters in the 8th inning and a 4-out save type of situation. But even in a sprint season, I don't think you want to jeopardize Kirby Yates by ever throwing him more than 1 inning and 1/3 or something like that. And I would be very surprised if the if we look up in a 7th inning and Kirby Yates is trotting into a ball game. That's what they have Drew Pomeranz for now, and that's what they have Emilio Pagan now for, and you still got Stammen and the rest of these
whole
guys.
Whole bunch of guys, yeah.
Yeah, so Kirby Yates, it's funny. I love what he says because that's the way he is. If they told him to come in the 4th inning, he wouldn't even hesitate. He would.
No. But put his glove on and go out there
just
and pitch.
Go, 4th inning, whatever. You just let me know, and I'll pitch. But I can tell you right now, it's Kirby. You're not pitching until the 9th inning, buddy.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss if – they would have been remiss if they didn't ask him, because Kirby is a pending free agency coming up at the end of this year. He was asked his thoughts on that impending free agency.
Don't know, you know, very, very simply. I don't know. I have thought about it a lot. But again, I don't really control that. I do in a sense, but you know, teams have to want you and people want to have to employ you. And you know, if the Padres don't want to, or Padres want to move on from me, that's fine. But, you know, I would like to stay here. I've made that clear. But, you know, it's weird to be going through thinking about free agency right now, because there is some uncertainty on the other side. You know, you don't really kind of know what the free agent market's going to be. And, you know, that's very interesting. And, you know, it's like, I don't control that. So I can't really do anything about it.
Yeah, you know, that's a normal response. A lot of guys...
It's a normal response for a guy that hasn't been through a normal career.
Right. Listen, I think most guys who get to free agency don't want to necessarily have that conversation about it until they actually get there. It just, you already have enough pressure on yourself anyway when you add the fact, okay, I got to go out here, I got to go out and pitch well so free agency goes well. It just is added pressure. So it's certainly a normal response for guys to be like, I'm trying. At least they're trying not to think about it. Not all of them are successful in that, but they do at least attempt not to.
The other thing that he said that was really interesting to me was that he said a team has to want you.
Yep.
And we don't think of it in those terms. And a lot of guys that are about to be free agents don't think about it in those terms. Guys that are about to be free agents are thinking about cashing in on a big contract somewhere. Kirby Yates, he just wants to be wanted. He just wants somebody to want him on their team, because that's where he's from. That's his background. I mean, this is a guy that started, you know, was given up on by the Yankees, given up on by the Rays, given up on by the Angels. So he just wants to have somebody want him. And I think that's coming at it from a little different angle than a lot of guys that are impending free agents who are thinking, you know, how much money can I cash in and where can I cash it in at? Kirby Yates wants to just make sure that he's got an opportunity to cash in somewhere. So I think his way of going about it is just slightly different based on his background.
That is certainly something that he knows is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's all said that. Now, I like his approach, no doubt about it. That was Kirby Yates enlightening us on his late appearance in spring training. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, where are we going to, Scrape, when we come back?
Countdown.
Countdown on the way. You'll find out what it is when we return. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Start your morning. Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, today's countdown. Top five wide receivers in the National Football League right now.
Number five.
Scraby, you can be pretty sure that the 49ers will not be getting a mention in this countdown.
We could do top 20 and they wouldn't get a mention in this room.
Okay.
Top 20.
Who do you got on your team, Chris?
Huh? We had a possible top 10 receiver on the Dolphins.
Devontae Parker.
Yeah, Devontae Parker.
He's garbage. Come on.
Garbage?
Dude, you can't say nothing about any wide receivers. You have none. Literally.
Garbage.
Devontae Parker's far from garbage. He's approaching garbage, but he's not at garbage.
I think he actually has pulled himself out of the garbage and is a
he had one point. Good game.
No,
one.
He did not have one good game.
He had about four good games when Miami started to get decent at the end of the season. So yeah. If he can keep it up, maybe that'll be a good sign. But anyway, enough about him. You got to make the top five to get in today's countdown, and I get to go first, I think.
You do.
All right, my number five best wide receiver in all of the National Football League, ranked 36th last season in total yardage. One of the reasons, though, is he only played 12 games. I still think he's one of the most dangerous weapons in the entire NFL, and he's especially dangerous with the quarterback that he gets to play with. So I'm going to say my number five receiver is Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs. He only had 860 yards last year, 7 touchdowns, and 50 blah, blah, blah. I don't think there's too many receivers out there that garner a whole lot more attention than Tyreek Hill does and can break open a game as fast as him. So I'll put him as my number five receiver, although the stats don't back it up from last year.
Yeah, no, number five is Tyreek Hill on my list.
Oh, okay.
His speed doesn't just allow Patrick Mahomes to pretty much pepper opposing defenses, but he's the ultimate decoy. You just have to have him on the field. We saw it in the Super Bowl. Just having him on the field creates open pockets all day long for Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. And when if you make a slight mistake in coverage, he'll burn you for a big play. Yeah, that's why he's got to be five.
Tyreek Hill on the list, both of them.
Number four.
All right. Number four on my top receivers list is a guy's probably on Tony's list somewhere, and that's Julio Jones, the Atlanta Falcons, great wide receiver. I dropped him a little bit to number four just because I feel like his play has dropped a little bit, not a lot, but just a little bit. He's totally the focus of that Atlanta team. He makes it go. I don't think he's got a lot of help on the other side and in the running game, so I think he's got to beat double and triple coverage all the time. And you know what? For the most part, he does beat double and triple coverage all the time. So still ranked number two in the NFL in yardage last year. Caught 99 passes. He's a frustrating fantasy guy. I will admit that. 6 touchdowns. He seems like he never gets into the end zone.
He's like 120 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah, almost every single game. But I still got to get him number four, at least. He still needed an appearance in the top five. That and the fact that other receivers talk about him like he's unbelievable, too.
Including Larry Fitzmagic.
Yes, I saw that clip. Yes. Yeah.
Number four on my list is Mike Evans. And it was a toss-up. I was either leaving him or Davante Adams off of my top five. Davante fell to that sixth spot. But Mike Evans, I actually had him in fantasy, and he was outrageous last year. He only grabbed 67 catches, but even when he's not open, he's open because he's so big. So you just have to throw it up there. Had 1,157 yards, 8 touchdowns last year, averaged 17.3 yards per reception. And now he's got the GOAT on his team. That was just with Jameis Winston on his team. Now he just has the GOAT. I expect these numbers to rise in a big way.
He could be dangerous this year, for sure.
Number three.
Number three for me, Scraby knows that I love this guy, Kenny Golladay, the Detroit Lions. Couple
you
of reasons.
Do love him.
I do. Saw him in college and projected him to be really good in the NFL, and he's been really good in the NFL. Golladay last year had 1,190 receiving yards and 65 catches. But here's why he made my top five, guys. He led all wide receivers in touchdowns with 11. Nobody had more TDs than Golladay. And if you look at all of the top 25 wide receivers in the NFL last year, he was number one in yardage per catch with 18.3. The guy who was second was the guy you just mentioned, Mike Evans. So Golladay made the big play for Detroit. He made a lot of big plays, got in the end zone. He's a tough cover. And I think he'd be even better with a better quarterback. I've never been totally sold on Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I like Golladay too. I picked him up. I had him in fantasy last year, and he was terrific. Number three on my list is DeAndre Hopkins of the the Arizona Cardinals.
Mr. 99.
Mr. 99. Listen, he's been fortunate his last couple years to play with DeAndre
Deshaun Watson,
excuse me.
Yeah.
But prior to that, he had a slew of different quarterbacks and still was putting up outrageous numbers. He didn't put up the numbers he has in the past couple years, but he still is the best over 20-yard target there is in the NFL. Caught 7 of his 20 targets for 20 yards or more in the air for 237 and 3 TDs. That's most in the league. So for as much attention as he gets, he's not quite the decoy that I mentioned earlier of Tyreek Hill, but that's pretty much what he does. And what I like about DeAndre is he's extremely patient for a wide receiver. He will go a whole half and some change without a catch, but still finish with 6 for 89 or 7 for 95 with a couple touchdowns. I like that about him. He recognizes that in an offense, and this is rare for a wide receiver, by the way, that in an offense, he may not be getting the ball. He may just be used as a decoy until the time is right, but when he's presented with that time, he makes the catch every time.
I don't like DeAndre Hopkins. He didn't make my top five, and you guys know why. It's not his
fault. You have to save face.
But I have to save face. I can't put him in the top five after knocking him all the time because he's not a 99. By the way, the countdown brought to you by our friends at Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. All right, my top two guys are total homer picks for me. They were my two wide receivers in the fantasy league that I was lucky enough to win last year. I know in the official league I was terrible, but in the unofficial league I did win. And I won because of these two guys. So my number two receiver is Chris Godwin of Tampa Bay. For all of the reasons that you had Mike Evans in there, I have Chris Godwin and then some, Tony. Caught 86 passes, 1,333 yards, 9 touchdowns. He had a little better numbers than Evans did last year, played in one more game than Evans did. But I think Mike Evans is in the prime of his career right now, and he's fantastic. Chris Godwin, I think, is heading toward the prime of his career. I think he's still yet to have it. And I think with Tom Brady, the chances are pretty good he's going to have it either this year or next. So I put Godwin a little higher on my list than most people. I got him at number two.
Godwin's going to catch like 120 passes this year, and he's going to have like four touchdowns. Because Mike Evans, He's going to get to the end, close to that end zone, and it's going right up to Mike Evans every time.
Yeah,
I can already see it.
That could be happening.
Where are we at? Number two?
Yeah.
That's Julio Jones for me.
Julio.
Julio Jones is basically Megatron now. Like, I mean, he's that big of a receiver. He's the example that I think everybody's like, if Larry Fitzgerald is telling his young quarterback, hey man, watch that guy. He's gonna watch number 11. He's gonna do something spectacular today. That's a lot of respect considering that's Larry Fitzgerald talking.
That's true.
Jones, he's not close to being done yet either, by the way. He caught 99 passes last year for almost 1,400 yards, six touchdowns. Six touchdowns could be better, but if the man gets this ball in his hands, watch out. He could take it to the house immediately.
He's one of the tip-top guys for sure. All right, number one is I had to go with Michael Thomas just because his numbers were so outlandish last year. Now, the only remote knock on Michael Thomas, it's not really a knock. The only thing you could say about Michael Thomas, he was targeted 30 more times than any wide receiver in football last year. 30. I mean, they threw the ball to him endlessly. However, he had 45 more catches than anybody else had at the wide receiver position. 45! Right. Wasn't even close. Keenan Allen and DeAndre Hopkins were second to Michael Thomas's record-breaking 149 catches, 1,700 yards, got 9 touchdowns, over 100 yards per game. And I will also say that as great as Drew Brees is, and he is, Michael Thomas had moments that I watched him, Tony, where he made Drew Brees look good by coming up with some just insane catches, too. He doesn't just get wide open and pull in easy catches. He can be covered and still catch the ball. So I got to go Michael Thomas number one, at least at this point in time.
There's no argument here. I've had the opportunity to be in a training session with him on a few times. This dude is an absolute animal. And I think something that we have to mention, the reason why he's targeted so much is because they move him around. He plays in the slot. He plays out wide. He runs the short routes. He runs the intermediate routes. He runs the deep routes. There isn't anything he can't do on the football field. And he plays with probably the biggest chip in all of sports. He is mad at anybody and everybody. If he even senses a little disrespect in a tweet, text, or post, he's coming at your head.
He took Drew Brees head on when that whole controversy happened. So
yes,
he was right on top of that, and Drew Brees is a good friend of his. So, yeah, Michael Thomas is insane. I mean, what he did last year was off the chart. Well, it was an all-time NFL record.
That is crazy. He was how many more catches did he have than everybody?
45.
So you could have took away those 30 extra targets. It still wouldn't have mattered.
No. Christian McCaffrey was second with 116, but he's a running back, so comparing him just to wide receivers, he had 45 more than the next guy.
Wow.
That's how you should win the fantasy title if you got that guy.
You very well should.
You got to really bungle the coaching job if you got those two guys. So, all right, there's our countdown. Top wide receivers right now in the National Football League. Countdown brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 30 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. for the location nearest you. Thanks so much to Valvoline. We appreciate that. Love having them as part of the program. We got our roundtable coming up in a few minutes. Before we get to that, Tony, one story I wanted to touch on that we hadn't got to yet today. Amazon today became the latest company to announce that it will be removing. And I'm going to go back to what I did many years ago. I'm just going to call them the Washington NFL team until they change their name. Their merchandise has been removed from Amazon as the team considers a name change. Amazon joins Nike, Walmart, Target, Dick's Sporting Goods, among other companies that have removed Washington's NFL merchandise for sale online. While the team is reviewing its nickname, I got to be honest with you. I know that the change in nickname is considered likely. That's what Adam Schefter is reporting. But I don't really understand the thorough review. What does that mean?
Nobody
thorough,
does, Chris.
What do you need a thorough review
nobody
to determine?
Nobody does, Tony says.
Yeah, nobody understands it, Chris. Yeah. I think everybody's scratching their head like, what does that even
mean? I know what it means.
What does the thoroughness need to be? You've been really punched in the face for like the last, I don't know, how long have we been discussing this
10
whole
years.
Redskins? Yeah, 10 years.
I know what it is. Daniel Snyder has been so hell-bent on keeping this team name, the Redskins, forever, that he needed to say thorough review because he knew it was going to be changed and it was going to have to go through some decisions, quote-unquote.
Here's the latest out of Washington, out of that team in Washington. Washington, according to Bleacher Report, Washington planning to have no Native American imagery with a potential new team name. So they're going to get rid of the imagery, but there's still a chance they might keep that actual team name.
No, they
that would
can't.
Make no sense.
They can't keep that team name. They,
with
they
a potential,
can't at this
potential,
point.
Not a definite, potential new team name.
Yeah, well, I guess they got the President of the United States on their side. And that's about all they have in that discussion. The Governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, said he believes the team's name should be changed. The time is right. I'm glad they're having this discussion. I believe the name will be changed. It's just time. It's time.
Yeah.
And this whole notion that it's all about the great legendary, team in Washington and the whole thing. And as you said, Tony, when we were talking about this earlier in the week, Daniel Snyder, although he certainly doesn't deserve it, stands to make a whole lot of money by changing his team name.
Yeah.
Because all of the Washington fans are going to run right out and buy the new merchandise and the new jerseys and the new team name and the new team everything right off the bat. So they'll forget about that nickname pretty fast, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So. I think – let me squeeze in this note.
Yeah.
You know Brooklyn Nets have been falling off their roster like crazy, right? Dimwitty was the last one. They have added – veteran Jamal Crawford to their roster.
Oh, wow.
To fill one of those voids.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Is Tony Kukoc available anywhere? Because it seems like all these guys are coming back.
Based on Tony Kukoc's outfit in that last dance, I think he's done.
He's done, okay.
I think he's had it, yeah.
What about Kendall Gill?
He's an assistant coach somewhere. I've seen him somewhere. I can't remember what team, though.
All right, well, I'll keep thinking.
Kendall Next thing Gill. You know, we're looking for Tom Van Arsdale.
Yep, that guy, too.
Yeah,
Pistol Pete Maverick.
Stick around. The roundtable is next. Talking Padres infielders with the coach and with Steve and with Ben.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.